Tyler Dunn covers the NFL for the Bleacher Report, and he joins us here on Sportsnet tonight. Ty, thanks for doing this.
Hey, man, great to be here. Pretty slow news day in the NFL.
Pretty slow news day. I know we heard whispers that potentially there could be an Odell Beckham Jr. trade to Cleveland, but now that it's actually went down, how surprised are you that he is a member of the Cleveland Browns?
Super surprised. Can't even think of the right word for this. I mean, in a matter of 2 years, the Cleveland Browns have turned themselves, you know, from a complete laughing stock into a legit contender. I mean, really, I can remember standing in that locker room just a couple of years ago, looking around at the talent level. I mean, you got Kenny Britt as your best talent on offense, a guy that probably nobody else in the NFL even wanted at the time. A lot of players that wouldn't even make practice squads on another team. DeShone Kizer just being sent to the Wolves. I mean, a team that was tanking in every way. Now they've got one of the most explosive offenses in the NFL, at least on paper. Just shocked that it got to this point so fast.
I want to look at the Giants here as well, because we can and will spend a ton of time on what the Browns have done here. But looking at what the Giants have done, they've gotten rid of so many big names. Eli Manning's still on the roster. You've got a rebuild probably going to be underway and last here for a couple of years. Saquon Barkley's there. But what's the level of confidence that Dave Gettleman, at an advanced age and maybe the league has passed him by a little bit, is the architect that you want here to try and get your franchise back on track?
Oh, my God. It's got to be about as low as it can be, right? I mean, I don't know what the direction here is at all. I mean, one day it seems like they want to win now. The next, it seems like they're building for the future. It just kind of seems like they're building this team on a whim day to day, just going with the flow. And I guess if you're going to play devil's advocate and you're a huge Giants homer, you'd say, well, hey, at least they got something for Odell, and it wasn't a third and a fifth like the Steelers had to settle, you know, for with the Antonio Brown situation. But that'd be a reach. I mean, they signed Odell Beckham to that historic contract because they believed in Odell Beckham. I don't know what necessarily went wrong that they didn't know then that they found out now. But it just seems like there isn't much direction there. And I don't know how you start Eli Manning at this point. I mean, you just got to tank at this point, or at least think to the future, however you want to term it, because you just let a top five receiver out the door. And whatever you think about Odell Beckham's antics, and trust me, I get that. I can remember talking to Stephon Gilmore here in Green Bay a few years back. I mean, one of the quietest players in the NFL called Odell a prima donna, a little kid. He had nothing nice to say about him. But I think that even Stephon Gilmore in any corner who's faced him would say, you want him on your team.
Ty, I know that thinking about this deal now, and this is kind of what I think the Giants might do. The pieces they acquired for Odell Beckham, Jabril Peppers, the safety, a first and a third round pick. Do they maybe spin this into calling the Arizona Cardinals and trading some of these pieces to acquire Josh Rosen to be the heir apparent to Eli Manning?
Definitely. I mean, that's got to be a phone call that Gettleman places. That's a great idea, actually. It'd make a lot of sense. You think that Arizona's going all in on Kyler Murray. At least that's what all the rumors seem to be pointing to. And Josh Rosen would be a pretty good, you know, way to spin this if you're the Giants or somebody like him, a young quarterback, anybody, because it doesn't make any sense to trot Eli Manning out there again. I think even the Giant fans who love Eli Manning to a fault would probably like to see this team show some clear direction at this point.
Yeah, it's just, it's bizarre to me what they're trying to do here. They just made the deal last week with Cleveland, so we've had two deals here in the span of about a week or so, getting rid of Olivier Vernon and bringing Kevin Zeitler. It's just, I'm racking my brain here, and I can't think of, outside of Barkley, one really good or even decent asset on this entire roster. And even Barkley, for as great as he is, isn't the best possible asset I think a lot of people thought they could have got if they had taken Sam Darnold. And maybe this whole situation is different if Gettleman says, you know what, I'll take Darnold number two. He'll be my franchise quarterback. And maybe we're not in this position and the Giants are in a way better spot than they are right now.
Yeah, and you guys just nailed it. I mean, this is the sign of a GM. It seems like the game has just kind of passed him by. I mean, you can add a Saquon Barkley. I mean, he could be a Hall of Fame running back. I mean, the guy at 2,000 yards last season combined, he can do it all. He might be the best back in the game, but it doesn't even matter because the position is devalued, and you can't win that way. I mean, you need a quarterback. You need to start there. You had your shot at several potential franchise quarterbacks, and you passed. And I think there's a lot of teams, a lot of GMs, a lot of personnel types around the NFL that saw the Giants take Saquon Barkley and said, hey, what in the heck are they doing?
Ty Dunn covers the NFL for the Bleacher Report, joining us here on Sportsnet tonight. Josh and George along the Sportsnet Radio Network. I know it's weird to say, but the Cleveland Browns are now the favorites to win the AFC North, Ty?
I'm with you. I guess the only counter argument is that the Browns would somehow, you know, Cleveland Brown this up and screw up what seems to be a dream scenario. I there always is that. If there is some type of curse on the city, on the team that hasn't quite been lifted yet. But if you look at the division on paper, I mean, the Ravens, that defense that was really good last year, absolutely gutted. The Steelers don't have Antonio Brown. I mean, I say what you want about him. I mean, he's going to be tough to replace. And then they've got all the drama that they've got to deal with there. And their defense actually got a little older. And yeah, I mean, I think it is the Cleveland Browns. I mean, Cincinnati's not much of a threat with a new head coach and going through changes themselves. It's the Browns division to lose. I'm with you.
So looking at Baker Mayfield specifically, threw 27 touchdowns last year and only 13 starts. A lot of his underlying numbers were also really good. Considering the array of just multifaceted weapons he now has on offense, the rapport he developed with Freddie Kitchens, could we see him maybe take the leap into legit MVP candidate this year in his sophomore season?
I think so. I mean, I don't think that's a stretch at all. And you mentioned Freddie Kitchens. That's the big question here, right? I mean, I think a lot of folks expected the Browns to maybe think outside the box, find their own innovative, cutting-edge, young assistant, you know, that has a Sean McVay connection of some type that is going to, you know, take Baker Mayfield under his wing and kind of stay at the forefront of everything that's changing offensively in the NFL. Instead, they stick with a coach that he worked really well with. And, you know, I think that was the right move. I mean, obviously Baker Mayfield with Freddie Kitchens, something worked. I mean, his numbers just skyrocketed when they were together and Hugh Jackson was nowhere near Cleveland. So if you got a good thing rolling, keep it rolling. And they did do some pretty innovative things. I mean, you remember that touchdown that Baker Mayfield threw late in the year where he kind of like faked a jet sweep, kind of flipped the ball to himself and chucked it down the seam. I mean, that's the kind of stuff I think that they're going to keep trying because you've got a talent that, look, I mean, there aren't many Baker Mayfield type of physical talents in the NFL.
Ty, I know a lot. I know that the Browns were just eviscerated when they signed Kareem Hunt because obviously the incident we saw on film, and now all of a sudden, like, that feels like that's a forgotten move. And now wait till Kareem Hunt serves a suspension and gets added to this offense with Odell Beckham Jr., David Njoku, Jarvis Landry, Baker Mayfield. Watch out when you add a player of Kareem Hunt's caliber, although a scumbag, a still very, very talented running back. To me, this move kind of just overshadows the negative publicity they had with the Kareem Hunt signing.
It does. You know, I'm not sure if that kind of stuff comes into play with these decisions. I would think that John Dorsey and Elliot Wolf, Alonzo Highsmith, you know, all those former Packer execs that made the move. I mean, I don't think they're going to make moves with public relations, you know, at the forefront, but heck, it certainly doesn't hurt, does it? I mean, they were the team that took a chance on Kareem Hunt and willing to ride out, you know, with probably is what, going to be a 10-game suspension, something like that.
Yeah.
You know, Odell Beckham, everybody's going to be talking about that. They're not talking about that video, at least not right now. And they don't really need Kareem Hunt to play anytime soon. I mean, gosh, I know he led the league in rushing as a rookie, but Nick Chubb was a top five back the last month of last season.
I want to get your thoughts. There's obviously we could talk about this till the cows come home, but there's been so many interesting head-scratching moves that have happened so far. When there's $1 billion or so in cap space and teams have lots of room, they're going to spend it in varying degrees of smart and stupid. And the one that really stands out to me, and I'm sure for most people it does, is the Nick Foles 4-year, $88 million with over $50 million in guarantees. And maybe it works out, but I just have a hard time understanding how Jacksonville decided to give him that much money when it was pretty clear they were the only real suitor for him.
Right, right. I mean, I'm big on Nick Foles. I think that kind of reunited with his quarterback's coach in Philly, there in Jacksonville, with an underrated receiving core. I mean, I think he can actually be pretty good. I think the Jaguars could convince themselves to be contenders. I don't think this is, a case of the Giants thinking they're contenders with Eli Manning. I think the Jaguars could flip a switch if that defense can somehow revert back to 2017 form. But at that price, man, really head scratching. I don't really know if other teams were that interested in Nick Foles. It was almost like they were bidding against themselves, everything that you hear. So really odd, really strange. But at the end of the day, hey, I mean, it's the premium position. And if he plays like he did through the postseason a couple years ago, even for stretches last season there at the end there, then it's worth every penny because there's teams everywhere trying to find a quarterback.
Ty, something that's kind of flown on the radar is the Honey Badger going to play safety for the Kansas City Chiefs, which I think is a major upgrade to their defense, although they've just traded Dee Ford to the San Francisco 49ers for a second-round pick. And if I'm San Francisco and Nick Bosa is sitting there at number two, I can have the guy who led the NFL in sacks last year in Dee Ford and now grab another ferocious pass rusher in Nick Bosa. That looks like a scary team in San Francisco moving forward. Were you surprised that the Chiefs are giving up on Dee Ford? And how much do you like the Honey Badger playing in that secondary for Kansas City?
Man, love the Honey Badger. I mean, I've had the opportunity to get to know him a little bit these past couple of years, and this is just the kind of player you want in your locker room. I know you hear it a lot, the intangibles, and it can seem cliche with a guy that's outspoken like him that's been through what he's been through, but it's real. I mean, he really organically became the leader of that defense, a voice that players respected. I mean, this is somebody who hit rock bottom and was booted from college and really had an addiction to smoking weed. And he's upfront about it and admits it and says, look, he had to look in the mirror. He had to really point the finger at himself, turn his life around. I think that's a story that resonates to any teammate that he's ever been around beyond the field. I mean, he really helped take that Texans defense to a different level. So another player I think this week that's really worth every penny, and the Chiefs absolutely need him. I mean, my gosh, that secondary, that defense at large, they need help anywhere they can get it, and they get it in Tyrann Mathieu.
The Raiders to me have been a real interesting kind of evolution in the span of 3 or 4 days because they hit the home run with Antonio Brown a couple of days ago and the price tag they paid. But then to give Trent Brown $36.75 million guaranteed, coming off of a year where he was thrust into a starting role in New England. Great coaching from Scarnecchia, the offensive line coach. This just kind of reeks to me of kind of a desperation move. They drafted Colton Miller in the first round this year. They're already moving him to right tackle. I just can't envision Tom Cable making it work here with Trent Brown. And this just screams that.
Of the Nate Solder contract,
yeah,
that was bad for the Giants.
Exactly.
Guys, I could not agree with you guys anymore. I mean, just that's the bizarre contract here. I think if Dante Scarnecchia is a future Hall of Famer, and he absolutely should be, Cable most certainly is not.
Yeah.
And it's just a strange fit. You know, he likes more undersized linemen that move, I guess, and they're already shuffling a first-round pick around, as you noted. You know, Trent Brown was a much different player before last year than he was with the Patriots, so I don't know if that's really going to work. And even if he does, if it does work, even if he is a top five offensive tackle, I'm not sure how this improves the Raiders' defense. I mean, their defense was the worst in the NFL. They still haven't addressed the pass rush. You can bring Antonio Brown in. You can light up the scoreboard. You can do all that stuff, but that defense is still full of holes wherever you look.
Ty Dunn covers the NFL for the Bleacher Report, joining us here on Sportsnet tonight. Ty, where's Le'Veon Bell going? It feels like the New York Jets and Baltimore Ravens, but I'm not really sure he's going to Baltimore, and a lot of people saying no, he's not going to Baltimore. How good is a fit for Le'Veon Bell and the New York Jets? I know they need a primary weapon for Sam Darnold, but the offensive line isn't the greatest. How good of a fit is that for Le'Veon Bell to go to the Jets? Clearly he'll get his money, but will he be super productive in New York?
Yeah, you know, in terms of, gosh, what I'm hearing or where I guess he'd go, I would just be that guessing. I mean, I should just throw out that term mystery team. I've seen that a lot this
Oakland?
Week, reporter. There's a mystery team involved.
Is it Oakland?
I was going to say there's a mystery.
Is it Oakland?
Maybe it's Oakland. Maybe it's Oakland. You know, in terms of the Jets, like, why not if you're the Jets? If you got the money, and you guys talked about it earlier here, with the salary cap rising, teams have money.
Yeah.
You know, your butt's always on the line if you're a GM, so you might as well take a swing. I'd love that as a fit for the Jets. I mean, you're kind of banking on Le'Veon Bell whipping himself into shape. Sounds like he's not exactly in shape right now. But if he is the Le'Veon Bell that we saw a couple years ago, you're talking about an MVP candidate, a guy who's going to speed up the development of Sam Darnold, need a playmaker in the worst way. I don't know why you wouldn't just, you know, give in a little bit and maybe give Bell what he wants or something closer to it. And on a side note, boy, it doesn't look like Bell's representation has really done a great job here, does
Jesus,
it?
I mean, yeah. Man, oh man.
Not the best moves were made on their part.
I know you've used to cover both the Bills and the Packers, and I want to get your thoughts particularly on Green Bay first. And they've got Brian Gutekunst now running the show after Ted Thompson. Back-to-back years now, they've been active in free agency. Last year, it didn't work out with Jimmy Graham and Muhammad Wilkerson, but they go out, get Za'Darius Smith, get Preston Smith, get Adrian Amos. What do you make of those moves? And do you think they need to also dip in and try and bolster the offense to give Aaron Rodgers a little bit more to work with?
I think on paper, you like what they did. They had to turn the page on Nick Perry. Just, my gosh, I was really surprised they stuck with him as long as they did. Same thing with Clay Matthews. I mean, he just isn't the difference maker that you remember from that Super Bowl team in 2010 and even 2011. They moved him inside. He's okay inside, and maybe you bring him back in that role on a cheaper deal, but they had to find some pass rushers, and it seems like they did. I mean, it seems like this is somebody who is going to get after the quarterback. I mean, he did in Baltimore last year. I think he likes Za'Darius Smith if you're the Packers, and I'm just not sure where that help is on offense, as you noted. But I don't know if they necessarily needed to go spend a lot of money in receiver. I think that help has to kind of come internally with Aaron Rodgers, working with those receivers they drafted last year, trusting those guys, not constantly drawing up those plays for Davante Adams and force feeding him. They have to get one of those young receivers developed and rely on a running game. I mean, they have a potential stud in Aaron Jones. I mean, whenever he touched the ball, good things happened. I know they like Jamal Williams still. So they've just got a lot of second and third year guys, I think, kind of in the program that they're going to have to develop quickly. And I kind of like what they did, though. Pay the money on defense. Pay money in the proven players on that side of the ball. I mean, that's what's held them back as much as anything since winning that Super Bowl in 2010, and just hope you can develop on offense.
Ty, I really like what the Bills did today, grabbing John Brown, a deep threat for Josh Allen, and it'll be hard for him to overthrow him, but I'm sure he'll find a way at some point this season to overthrow John Brown. Cole Beasley in the slot, I like. I like the veteran presence of Frank Gore to spell LeSean McCoy at running back. I like that they bolstered the offensive line. I kind of like what the Bills did. Like, all this Odell Beckham talk has overshadowed, I think, a really nice day at One Bills Drive today.
I like it because they just spend money, you know? And I was a little worried leading up to this week because it seemed like Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott were being very cautious, you know, publicly at least, telling everybody, look, there were a lot of mistakes made before we got here. We don't want to just come out and spend millions and millions of dollars in the wrong spots, but I think that they know, you know, if they look in the mirror and they're being honest with themselves, that their jobs are on the line. I mean, they've got to win this year, at least show an improvement from last year. And that money is, you know, what's it going to do? Carry over to a new regime? You've got to spend it. You've got to go find some players. Their offensive line was terrible last year. They went out. They found some proven offensive linemen. You know, we'll see how this approach at receiver works. I mean, they're really selling the idea of not needing a true number one. So it's going to be that John Brown, Cole Beasley, Zay Jones, Robert Foster kind of committee approach.
DK Metcalf maybe in the draft, Ty?
Great point. I mean, they could. They definitely could draft a receiver as well. But I guess overall, to just surround Josh Allen with all of this talent, and ponying up for it is a good sign. It's really similar to what Ryan Pace and the Bears tried to do with Mitchell Trubisky last year. Granted, they did it with an Allen Robinson. They did it with a Khalil Mack on the other side of the ball. But they got Josh Allen help, and now they're going to really see if he's the future.
Ty Dunn covers the NFL for the Bleacher Report. Ty, thanks for doing this. Go back to your crazy busy night.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. I appreciate it.